Well, welcome. We truly are delighted that you are here. And we hope that you are finding that this Christmas Eve service satisfies whatever it is within you that actually prompted you to come to church tonight. By the time this night is over, we will have gathered here for three Christmas Eve services, each one a little different than the others. Our first happened a few hours ago at 4 o'clock, and it was a service that was really designed for young children and young families. Although we do hope that it actually touched the child in all of us, and there were moments in it that did that, I think. This service is obviously our most classic traditional Christmas Eve service. And the one that'll happen a little later on, as that Phil talked about in the announcements at 9, is not dissimilar, although it's a little less formal and a little less traditional, a little more contemporary. Well, despite the fact that the services are all quite distinctive, all three of them do have some common elements. In all of them, we will have a chance to reflect on some aspect of the story of Jesus' birth. We get to pray together for others and for our world. And of course, we get to sing these wonderful carols together. Singing still is a non-negotiable at Christmas, in church and in other places, which is actually interesting because when you think about it, singing is actually becoming increasingly less common in our culture. I mean, apart from singing the national anthem at public gatherings or sporting events, today there are fewer and fewer chances for us to sing together in public like this. But this is not so in church. Singing is still very much at the heart of our gatherings, and it always will be, whether it's Christmas Eve or otherwise. And it's not just because it's tradition, because I think there's something much deeper than tradition within us that actually draws us to sing. Something that we heard sort of described in the psalm Phil just read, Psalm 98, the first of our scripture readings. As you listen to that psalm, you probably recognized it's a poem, and it's actually comprised in three parts. And if we were to draw a picture of it, it would look kind of like three concentric circles, all radiating from the same center point, but growing wider as it progresses. It describes how we respond to the good news that God's love for us is unending, and that the promise we have that because of his love, he's determined to rescue us from all that is wrong in this world. The psalm begins by telling of how a gathering of people like this one, a congregation, respond to this incredible news. And then it moves on to talk about how not just the congregation, but in fact, all people delight in this. And finally, it grows the broadest, and it describes how not just people, but all the earth, all creation celebrates this wonderful love God has shown to us all. It has this sense of joy radiating from a center and growing wider and wider until amazingly it encompasses the whole world. And wonderfully, the whole world responds in exactly the same way. We respond to that love by singing. I'm sure our choir director is radiating right now. We sing, and as the psalm describes it, our delight in the, just bursts out of us in this joyous song. It's what we do. We can't really stop it. It's beyond us. And so on this night, as we gather to remember the angels and the shepherds and the dark manger that was lit up by the star and that tiny newborn who was God himself, swaddled and tucked warmly in the hay. The psalmist would say it is most fitting that we really are moved to sing. And as we can see in just this service, you look at your bulletins, there's lots of songs that help us sing of our Christmas joy. You probably have some favorites yourself, songs that either connect with special memories for you or touch your heart in some special way. Here at St. Stephen's, and in many other churches, I suspect, there is one particular song that seems to hold a special place for us, so special that it doesn't matter which of our three services you come to, you will sing it at all of them. It is really beloved. And for many of us, it's the high point of the night. We're going to sing it together in a bit. We'll dim the sanctuary lights. We will light those candles and share the flame with our neighbors. And together we will sing Silent Night. That song holds a special place in our Christmas celebrations. And I think it's because there's something special that happens as we sing it. An intangible thing that's hard to put into words. And it doesn't just happen here tonight. Silent Night actually has quite a history of bringing something very special to Christmas celebrations. You've probably heard the famous story of how it was part of a beautiful few hours in the early months of World War I, Christmas Eve 1914. That night, for a short time, the violent booming of artillery and gunfire fell silent, and it was replaced by the sounds of men's voices singing the strains of Silent Night. For a few hours in that horrible war, there was a brief truce. Men from both sides came out of the trenches, and they came together to celebrate Christmas, and they did it by singing. And more than any other, the stories tell that they sang Silent Night. Well, stories like that one, and experiences like we have when we sing it together here on Christmas Eve, they have made this wonderful song a beloved and special part of our celebrations. And so maybe I'm borrowing trouble here, but why is that? What is it about Silent Night that makes it so special? I mean, it's strange when you think about it, because honestly, was it really a silent night? I mean, we're talking about a real historical event that involved a woman giving birth and a newborn. I've had two. It wasn't silent. This is not a fairy tale. This was real life at what is usually one of life's rawest moments. So are we really expected to believe that Mary never, ever cried out when she was in labor? Or that Jesus didn't cry out as he took his first breath? Gosh, I hope that's not true. I hope he gave a lusty wail, one that told Mary and Joseph and anyone else who was there that he'd arrived, and he was healthy and strong. So is this beloved song trying to extract that kind of messy human reality from Christmas? I don't think it can be. The promise that we find in Jesus' birth is that God was actually willing to come into this messiness of life. And not just to come, but to come as a newborn baby, to experience all that it really means to be human. That's the incredible thing about Jesus. It's also the very place that we find the hope that he offers us. See, we have a God who loves us so much that he came here to be on earth with us, to be born, to live a human life, and through that life to show us how to truly live. And as we all know, life involves mess and noise, and yes, sometimes even pain, doesn't it? So how, in the midst of all of those realities, how is it that we can sing so beautifully about it being a silent and holy night? Even more, why is this song the one that God so often seems to use to touch us so profoundly? Well, I've got a bit of an advantage on you all because I've actually spent the last few weeks chewing on this, trying to think about what it is about this song that connects us with this story so powerfully. And here's where I've come to. What I am prepared to consider, and even more what I'm asking you to consider tonight, is that in the midst of all of that messiness and those moments of probably at times quite startling noise, there was also something else. There was at least one moment of silence, a very particular special kind of silence. Not the kind that comes because nothing is happening, exactly the opposite, actually. The kind of silence that we find ourselves immersed in because we have the sense that something spectacular is about to happen. Like the silence and stillness that comes right before a dramatic storm breaks out, you know that one? Or the silence that falls over an audience right before the lights go up and the show starts. It's one of those moments, the times when we find ourselves falling quiet with expectation. It's the silence that comes because we're focused, waiting, anticipating what's about to come. So imagine being there in Bethlehem on that night so long ago. Imagine you're a shepherd visited by an angel. That's a big deal. Imagine the excitement and even the disbelief in that. And then imagine daring to follow the angel's lead, actually going to Bethlehem to see if, against all odds, you might actually find a baby somewhere wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. And imagine walking into some stable somewhere and all that was going on in that stable, but finding him just like that, just like the angel had described. Can you imagine falling silent as you dare to believe that in the midst of those rather ordinary and yet completely extraordinary circumstances, God was doing something huge? I can imagine that. It must have been like that. For the really good news is that the entire fullness of God was living within that tiny, entirely human baby born to Mary that night. In Jesus, God had come to this earth in all of its reality and messiness to be with us. God did move in a big way that silent and holy night. And that same God continues to move in this world, in our lives today. So as we sing together in a few moments, I want to invite you to wait for it. Wait for that special moment when for just a minute it seems like time stands still and silence falls. And together we find ourselves waiting in excited anticipation for what God's going to do next. Amen.